Begin praying, in the name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We ask God, our Father, to give us a deeper understanding of the things that separate us from Him and harm us and harm our relationship with others. He gave wisdom, He gave the Holy Spirit for that, so that we were aware of our sins and so we can convert to His love and mercy. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Yes, Mary, refuge of sinners, and our Mother of Mercy, to help us to understand the evil that is in every sin. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women. Blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and the hour of our death. Amen. Understanding that we are temples of God and the temple of God is holy. With glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Do we have any doubts, questions, problems?
Well, I have some remarks. We celebrated the feast of St. John of the Cross.
Yes, the 14th.
And I just pondered on that because I was listening to the podcast that Dr. Lewis had on the discerning hearts. And it's something reminded what you are trying to tell us right in the beginning, from the very beginning. And I just took some notes from his talk because he said that St. Teresa of Avila, when she was trying to pray, that she struggled in her life on the beginning with her prayer because she had these great prayers, but when she looked at her sinfulness, she said, can it be that this is genuine prayer? She questioned it, but she got good spiritual director. One of them was Saint Francis Borgia, who encouraged her to continue to this to prayer, because this is what he told her, that he encouraged her otherwise, that she should really even though she falls into the ditch, she is capable of sinning, even repeated sin. But she said the deepest truth is that your soul, in your soul, is that God loves you. That's the deepest truth. And he said, if you live from that truth that God loves you in confidence, that everything changes. Because we need to live from that love, not from our own perfection. And it reminded me, when you were going through the book of St. Alphonsus Liguori and knowing the love of Jesus Christ, you were talking about perfection. We want to live in the perfection, but if we try to be perfect, that we don't mistake, we'll get crazy, we'll get nuts. But to live from that love, to receive from what God communicates to us, to communicate Himself, communicate love, that's where we live truly Christian life. And you know, when I ponder on that, I'm so thankful, Father, that you are reminding us over and over and drawing us into it. And I want to encourage everybody here that really take it seriously, these classes, because this is the way of salvation. We don't live from that truth. That what will we live from?
From the ego. We choose. we live from the love of God, or we live from our ego.
Yeah.
Trying to find love outside, that is the problem at the same time, I mean, because the ego is unsatiable, no? Cannot be satiated. I mean, the ego has no limits, because the ego is touched by the spiritual, even if it's not looking for the spiritual, it's looking there. So the first truth is the most important. We talk about that, the principal foundation of everything is the love of God for us. That's what he's saying there. Not how I love him, it's not how good I am, it's not how I can change things. No, it's the love of God for us. Understanding at the same time that love is almighty. And that is faith. I mean, faith is not about what I think. Faith is about how God loves me. I mean, because he died in a cross. Do you want to, we can grasp something of that? He died in a cross. And that is the love he's loving us always. So that is, has to be our constant coming back every day and turning again and again and again and again to what? To the love God has for me. Because if not, in our weakness, we can get disappointed or frustrated or discouraged. But I mean, your power before your God is your weakness. Your power before your God is your sins. That is that last meditation we did is about mercy. And that is mercy. My power before God, the problem is that we are in a society that because our relationship with our parents, we have to be perfect because if not, they don't love us. And the more perfect they are, they say, tap, tap, and say, good, good, you are good. I mean, and now it's there. I mean, and we have that mentality that is the same with God. If I do the things wrong, he's not going to love me. So why am I going to pray or what? Or now that I have done wrong or I have been lazy, now is when you need more prayer. When you are doing wrong is when you need more prayer. I see it in the psychological level. Majority of people, when they go to confessionary, because I sinned and now because I sinned, hello, I was presumptuous of the mercy of God. You cannot be presumptuous of the mercy of God. I mean, is that you are harming yourself. You understand that sin is something that harms you? I mean, because it's not that God doesn't love you. The father was loving more the prodigal son when he was out than the other. It's the mystery of the mercy of God. Why? Because his love is free. It's no reason. It's no reason. That reason is called grace. Because it's grace, because it's, you know, in Spanish we get it very clear, because it's gratis. We have that word in English, but it's not a common word. It's called grace, because grace and gratis is the same thing. It's no reason. When you think that God is going to give you the things because you are good, I mean, you are losing totally the point of your relationship with God. You are lost in the relationship with God. You are in your egocentric psychological level. Why? Because that is the reason is faith. Because it's a grace. It's gift. It's his love. It's not you. It's not about you. It's not about how good you are. It's about how good he is. And that is the good news. That is about only his love for you. That is very important that we retake in every prayer. I mean, because we sometimes we go to prayer because I have been doing the things wrong. Now, how God is going. I mean, this is you again. Put it in the center of everything. This is about his love. And his love is infinite and his power. And can change everything. If I open it to him. And I sinned because I was separated from his love. So I come back now to his love. I mean, this, in my opinion, this is one of the biggest problems in spiritual life. But all Santa Teresa of the Child Jesus is the contrary of this. He's saying constantly that my misery, my weakness is my power before God. It's not how good I am, it's how good he is. And if I open to his goodness, I can be better. But why I sin? Because I close to his goodness. So what I do now? I open to his goodness. I mean, it's the contrary of our thinking. That is the problem of this. It's the contrary of psychological level. Psychological level is all material. So it's you give, I give. You give me, I give you. 50-50. You know, the worst definition that can be of a marriage is that. Why? Because it's the contrary of love. That is a deal. That is something that is about the market, no? I pay you and you give me the 50 of the same as I am paying you. You don't give it me. I don't put my part. What is that? I mean, it has nothing to do with love. But it's there. It's like, so I insist the point that this is about his love for us. That is the first meditation. That is the second meditation. All the meditation that we have been doing is about that. It's about the love he has for us, and the last was about his mercy. That is the love for the sinner. He has come to save sinners and not those who are righteous. And if anyone says that he has not a sin, he's a liar. That is 1 John chapter 1, verse 6. I mean, why? Because every one of us is, and going to God is coming to light. So it's knowing myself better. If I don't live from his mercy, you are going to give up. Why? Because it's tough to know yourself. That is humility, it's self-knowledge. I mean, but for what? Stop leaning on yourself, leaning on God. That's the reason God did that purification of knowing myself. For I stop thinking that I am good, and I let Him to be the source of my life. Because the problem here is that God is God. And God is source of everything in the universe. He's creator. And we can't have love if we are not living from Him. Living means living. So that He's the vine, I am the branch. So I don't have any love if I am not a branch who is totally grafted to the vine. Because the sap is coming from Him, not from me. And that is spiritual life. Spiritual life is learning that without Him, I can do nothing. And that is tough. Yes, it's tough. God doesn't show that to everyone in the first moment. Why? Because there are people that they don't want to see. And they will get very discouraged or despair. I mean, but all is about His mercy. It's all about His love for us. I mean, the reason all is about Jesus. Because Jesus, crucified and resurrected, is the mercy of God. That's what we were saying the other day. The death of Jesus is how He loved me, being a sinner. And the resurrection of Jesus is the power He has for healing my wounds. I mean, and that is the Paschal mystery that is the center of everything in spiritual life, in Christian life. It's not an idea, it's an action of God in human history. It's not a thought. It's that God came to this world for teaching us how He loved us, being sinners, because He surrendered everyone on unbelief and on sin for having mercy of everyone. So nobody can boast of anything. Why? Because He's the source, He's the giver of everything to everyone in the universe. I insist, I understand that these things are difficult to get in our heads. I move this finger because He's first core eternal of this moment and second cause. And in the moment you deny that, you deny God. It's the same thing. It's no different. Denying this that I am saying and denying God is the same thing. Why? Because He's God, He's creator, is the one who gives being to everything. And being is that exists, that is. And you want the most important verb in all languages, that is. I mean, why? Because it's what makes a thing real. And He's the author of reality. And He has created us for living from Him. I mean, this is not a thing that I can choose yes or I can choose no. You choose no, it's total selfishness. Me, you, and the Pope, and the President of the United States, and whoever in this world. In the moment you are not living from God, it's total selfishness, everything that you are doing. Now you can talk, you can say things. Why? Because He's the source, the fountain of love, from whom is coming of love in heaven and on earth, or communion of love. Feelings and affections, no, but this is what we share with animals. They have feelings and affections, and sex. But that is the whole thing that we can have out of God. I mean, why? Because He has created some laws that give us a body as the animals, but our body, in the difference with the body of the animals, that is created for being a temple of God. So for living from God, in God, and for God. That is the difference. When we are not living from God, in God, and for God, all is ego and cannot be in any other way. That is the reason marriages are so difficult. Why? Because marriage is a creation of God for living from Him, in Him, and for Him. And education of children is the same. It's a plan of God for living from Him, in Him, and for Him. So the human relationship, the personal relationships, are created by God for living from Him, in Him, and for Him. From His love, in His divine providence, and toward Him. If not, God doesn't exist. I mean, He's the creator, and He has created the things for living in the plan of the one who is the giver of everything. The problem is that fact that He's the creator brings to the heart a lot of humility, because understanding that I depend on Him totally, absolutely, and permanently. But we are not living in such way. That is the truth. And God, when you come to Him, He shows the truth of who you are. So for what? For you live from Him, not for bothering you. No, for you stop bothering yourself. That is very different. I mean, yes, because the ego is the way you bother yourself and the others that are with you. I mean, it's for living from love. But He needs that you recognize, because if you are not in truth, that is the same as humility, the truth of myself, self-knowledge, that is humility, is no way. God can work in us, because only in the truth He works, only in Jesus. The reason the Holy Spirit, the love of God, is not given, it is not through Jesus. So through the truth. And can a person who is not Christian receive the Holy Spirit? Yes, because he's living in the truth. He's living according to Jesus. I mean, even he don't know, because we have a capacity of knowing the truth. So, but God doesn't give his Holy Spirit in a lie. Can be a confusion, a God that is making more darkness in the heart of a person. How that is going to happen? God doesn't work in lies. So the first thing is recognizing the truth. That is called self-knowledge or humility. And the truth of ourselves is painful. That is the only thing. But if you believe in the mercy of God, it's not so painful. If you are thinking in your ego, yes, it's painful. That is the difference. Because if I am living in the mercy of God, that is Santa Teresa of the Child Jesus, how happy I am of seeing myself so weak in the moment of my death. I mean, why? Because she was not leaning in her, she was leaning in the mercy of God. And because he has a moment of impatience or whatever, he don't get discouraged. No, he knows his weakness, her weakness, and now he opens more to God. That is what we are called to do, to live from God. I mean, this is a way of living. It's what the Bible is about. Only one thing, that in the beginning they were in paradise because they were in an intimacy with God. Why? Because they were living from God, in God and for God. And God was working in their heart, and the reason they can be naked without shame. Why? Because in the heart, the fullness of God was illuminating, God's giving light to the vision of the humanity. And they don't see the things according to the psychological level. They see the things according to the mystery of God. That happens to some saints and, you know, St. Francis of Assisi, everywhere. He sees the light or the fire. He sees the rock. Everything for him is talking about God. Why? Because God is there. Who are blind is us, not St. Francis. St. Francis, who has done, is purifying his heart and now seeing with the vision of God in the measure that can be accomplished after original sin. Because the wound is big, but original sin is only one thing. My will taking the place of God. You will be as God. So the ego. Why? Because when there is no God in a heart, when there is not a presence of God in a heart, when a person is not living from God, you are pretending to be God. As me, I know it very well. But it's my will, because my will now need to be done. Because I want my will. There is some people get upset and angry and frustrated and complaining and all these things that, in, you know, they read the Bible is the contrary. Be grateful, give thanks always, don't complain. I mean, why? Because a person who is looking for his will is always complaining, because your will never be done. I mean, and when it is done, it's in a lie. I mean, because it's not truth. It's your ego. Now, the will and the ego is the same thing. The ego is not an idea. It's the will in the desire of me being in the center of everything and being the center of the universe. You will be as God. But God is not center of anything, because he's totally the center, because it's a communion of love. In which the Father is Father because he's loving the Son and giving totally to the Son. The Son is Son because he's receiving himself from the Father, and the Holy Spirit is coming from them. So there is nothing that is about me in the Holy Trinity. But the wrong idea of God, that is the satanic idea, is the ego. But I insist in the point, I mean, it's very important that we understand that it's a way of living, and it's a way of living from his love, that is called faith. Why? Because how can I understand that in all wickedness, in all this selfishness, in all this pride, in all this coming again to the same things that I do, is a love that is wanting to come to my heart? Only in faith you can get that. Only in faith you can get that. And the reason the faith is so important, and the first thing is making a resolution, that is the first meditation, about the love of God for me. And when you go to prayer, renew that meditation. I don't come here, if you go to prayer for whatever other thing that is not receiving love, I mean, I don't know why you are going to prayer. Because your prayer probably is very boring. Because it's about your thinking, or about how you do things. I mean, it's not about you, it's about him. So prayer is about how he loves me and how I am trying now to open to his love. How? Understanding who is God. I repeat it several times and I continue insisting. He's creator, he's almighty, he has a divine providence, he's ruling everything, he loves you now with the love of his Son crucified, he's wanting to come to your heart, he's wanting to pour the Holy Spirit in you in fullness, but now you need to, these things, if they are not, when you are renewing them in your heart through faith, they are not changing something inside you, it's because you are not doing them. It's clear that. Why? Because it's impossible that I understand that my whole being is in the almighty power of God, who is infinite love, and something doesn't change inside me. It's impossible. or I am not doing that of faith, or I am not believing it, or so it's only an intellectual idea that I am putting in my head that is useless, or I am getting a relationship with Him, because prayer is about my relationship with Him. Who is Him and who am I before Him? I mean, it's impossible that a person who goes in prayer don't get in humility and humble himself before God. So, and that is the reason the source of everything is always faith is not about we are justified by faith. What means that? That there are two ways of living. Only two. The Pharisee. Pharisee is PH. The Pharisee that is me trying to justify myself, my actions. I'm good. I'm doing the things right. At the brother of the prodigal son that was there and was a monster. But he was there thinking that he was very good and was obeying his dad always. That is what he's thinking. But has nothing to do. He was envious. He was aggressive. He don't love his father. He doesn't love his brother. He doesn't love anyone. He was only a checking box. I mean, he thought that he was doing the things, but he has no love to anyone. Why? Because the only way of having love is living from the love of the Father. I mean, the other way, this is the one who is justifying himself. I don't know how to write. Right? Justifying himself. And that is a way of living. That because this is the psychological level. Because the psychological level, if you study Freud or other psychologists, you will see that the most powerful weapon that is in the human heart that causes all the human problems, because it's a mechanism of life, is called mechanism of justification, mechanism of defense, mechanism of rationalization, mechanism of lies. And every one of us is there from childhood, trying to justify ourselves. But now there is another thing that is called faith. And faith, what is? That you don't justify yourself. We are justified by faith. What means faith? We are justified by the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is faith. And the whole thing of faith is about that. That God died for me and God rose for me, so I understand His love for me being a sinner and the power He has for changing everything. So I don't need now to justify nothing. The contrary is the truth. What I need is to bring everything to Him and to justify the others because I don't know their lives and begin to accuse myself because that is salvation. It's a total change. That reason is a revolution in the human heart because it's exactly the contrary of what this society and human beings do all along their life, that is trying to say that they are good. I mean, yesterday we were in confessions and we have, you know, the in the parish, and it's confession that usually people who have long time without confession came to confession. I mean, all priests know that. Longer is the time without confession, the more lax is the conscience of that person, and the better that person he thinks that she or he is. I mean, it's a fact. Why? Because this mechanism is working. And I've seen a person without a year. I mean, they don't know even what to say. I didn't go to Mass one Sunday. Imagine the poverty of that person. Imagine the misery of that person in his relationship. He's not aware of the evil he's doing, so she's not aware of the change that she or he needs for helping in his marriage and her children. It's all a lie. It's all a lie because this mechanism of justification is a mechanism of lies. That is what it is. About myself. And now, because here is the ego, it's always working, it's no relationship with God. Even prayer is nothing. Even, you know, there is the prayer of Luke 18 about the Pharisee and the publican, and the Pharisee, I read the text because, I mean, it's so amazing that it deserves to read it because the concrete words that are used there about this problem, this is the biggest human problem. This is not another problem. This is the problem. What? Believing in a lie about myself or living in humility, that is faith, because I now know His love for me and I don't need to cover nothing. What I do is open everything to Him because He's my Savior. So I bring to Him the things that He has to save. That is what it's about. Only that. Why? Because He has come to save sinners and I am the greatest, says St. Paul. No, I am greater. No, you can argue about that. But this, I mean, why? Because there is no problem. What is the problem? If he's going to show me His love in the measure I am able to open to Him what I have. And it's pure grace of God. It's not that I am good. Where sin abundance, grace overflows and superabundance. You know, it's Romans 5:20. But is there? I mean, it's about the action of God in our souls. I go to the text of Luke that is so. God bless.
So, Father.
Yes.
As the same Teresa of Avila, she struggled with herself because she said that she struggled with how can the prayer be a genuine prayer when she look at her life and she lives by the sin. And once she discovered that, this is what I was talking about, was two levels of justification. She was trying to justify herself by being perfect, but once she realized that she's not living from the love of God, that was complete change in everything, in her life as well. Because then she said something like this, that because of that realization, she realized that's how Carmelites are going to renew the church by going to the true authentic prayer that is focused on living from the love of God rather than living from perfection that comes from like a Pharisee's. That's the battle in the saints, in us, in all
every human being.
Being at the same battle. Unless we'll discover the battle that really this prayer, this mental prayer which he was talking about, comes to the realization of loving God. Living from the love of God, as I pray, so I live, and my life reflects it later. If I don't live from that, then
yeah, but it's living. So that what Santa Teresa was, he's more clear even when he talk about. She's more clear when she talk about that under the appearance of humility, because her disorder attachment, because he was very talkative, maybe she was a woman. No, it's a joke. They talk more than me. I agree. So, because she loved to talk to people, because she was very wise and she was very funny and these things. And she loved to go to the locutory, that is called the place where they meet with the people. And she was know that was not from God. And she was not giving it up. And that is when they talk about the dark night of Santa Teresa of 18 years was this. That she don't want to give that up. But she wrote that the greatest temptation he had ever was the temptation of giving up prayer. Because she was not doing the things perfectly. Because she was not enough good. The greatest temptation under the appearance of humility was that. It's written in the book of life of her, I mean. But is there? I mean, it's a big lie. I mean, because more sinner I am, more weak I am, more I need prayer, because the only thing that can bring me from my sins is the love of God. Why I am sinning? Why she was sinning? Because she was looking for love there. That they admire her and think how nice she was and how intelligent and how funny. She was looking for love. It's a lie in her heart. And how I can conquer that lie about love? Only receiving love. And God is going to give you free. But you need faith, because if you don't believe that he's going to give you free, you don't believe in God. You believe in your idea of God, but that is not God. God has revealed himself in the mystery of the cross for teaching us how he loves us in our weakness. So we never discourage. Humility and courage are always together, and trust. They cannot be separated. A person who is humble is always with courage. Why? And it's always with trust. Why? Because it's not founded in me anything, it's founded in him. And Mary is the most humble. Why? Because she's in the total, permanent awareness that she's nothing. The lowliness is the nothingness of her servant. What? Nothing without God. That all she is a gift, and at the same time she knows that the Almighty has done great things for me. But she knows how God works in the poor and in the humble. As he proclaimed in the Magnificat. I mean, but it's not a matter of thinking, it's a matter of faith. That is the reason faith is the foundation of everything. Go to the text of the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. It's 18:9 of St. Luke. He then addressed, before he's talking about, then he told them a parable about the necessity for them to pray always, without becoming weary. So that is the way the chapter 18 begins. So the necessity of praying always. Why? Because prayer is not saying words. prayer is opening to God and surrendering to the will of God and trying to find God in my life. I mean, if my prayer is not bringing me to that, my prayer is useless, because prayer is for life and life is for prayer. I mean, because it's how I am letting God to work in me. That is the goal of prayer. So in His divine providence, so the necessity of praying always, how can I be talking always or thinking always? No, it's a matter of looking for the love of God always. Why? Because the love of God is given to you in this relationship with this person, in this work that you are doing, in that mission that you have with your children. The love of God is always working, it's the Holy Spirit. But in those who are in a mystery, that is their life, not living in their ego, living for another. And that is the text. And after that he talked. He then addressed this parable to those who were convinced of their own righteousness and despise everyone else, because at the same time, when I am here and you're judgmental and criticizing others and putting others down, instead of judging myself, that is enough. I mean, for with me, I have enough. I don't need more for judging. So, but these are two people went up to the temple area to pray. Look at the words. One was a Pharisee and the other was a tax collector. The Pharisee took up his position. So he has a position in the church. And he spoke this prayer to himself. I mean, the words are amazing. Eh? And he spoke this prayer to himself. I mean, so he was saying a prayer to himself, not to God. Even he was using words like this. Eh? That is the word he used. Oh God. So he's talking to God. But God is saying that he's not talking to him. No? I mean, that is what he's saying. He's talking to himself. That is what he's saying. Even he used words that are, oh God, and begins with an act of thanksgiving. I thank you that I am not like the rest of humanity, greedy, dishonest, adulterous, or even like this tax collector. Comparing. I fast twice a week. Me no. I pay tithes on my whole income. Me neither. But the tax collector stood off a distance and would not even raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast and prayed, oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, the latter went home justified, not the former. Everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. I mean, beautiful text, no? I mean, but I mean, this parable, it's a parable of humanity. Because in the moment I don't want to be in the place of the Pharisee, I am, because I am comparing with others. So the only position possible before God is, have mercy on me, I am a sinner. And stop comparing with others, because the fact of this is that he was comparing with others how he was. And that is the way people are. That is the reason they are always comparing and judging and thinking how the others are, what they have, what I have, what is my family, their family. Please, stop that. It's painful. I mean, it's painful. It's painful for the person. Because, I mean, it's so harmful. Because don't help to anyone to grow and mature. First me. So here is the point of everything we say here. Because all is for opening to the love of God. The love of God as creator, the love of God in his divine providence, as the meditation we have been seeing, the plan of God in his principle and foundation. I mean, all the meditation we have talked is about the love of God and the mercy of God for us. That is the last meditation. But at the same time, God needs that I want. And faith is wanting to let God to work in me, because he cannot work if I don't want. The only problem God has is one. I don't want. I know it very well. I am tough. Stubborn. Stiff neck, uncircumcised of ear and heart. That is what I am. But I know that he loves me, so I can change that, even that. I mean, it's the way things are. Believing in his love. Whatever is in my heart and in my life. That is what Jesus was praying in the garden. I mean, Abba, 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 Abba. What means Abba, Abba? You are my dad. You love me. You are infinite goodness. I am your child. That means Abba. So he was praying in the greatest of temptations that ever had been in human history, because he was sweating blood for that temptation, for us, not for him, because everything that he did was for our salvation and for teaching us how to conquer things. It's proclamation, the love of God, proclamation, the power of God, for you nothing is impossible, and proclamation that only in the will of God is the good that I need in this moment. Not my will, but your will. And that was the prayer of Jesus, that openness to what? To the goodness of God. He don't need faith because he knows it. He's not like us. He don't need faith. He knows the goodness of God that in that moment, in his physical level, in the psychological level, in the human level, was totally denied. Because he was suffering the temptation, and he, you know the expressions, he was sad until death, and he was in fear, total fear. That is temptation always, sadness and fear. And God let that happen to him, because the next moment he's not in sadness and fear. After his prayer, now we go. I mean, and the moment came that the thing changed. Why? Because his prayer, teaching us to pray and saying to us, pray always, the same thing that he's saying there. Pray always, because the flesh is weak, so the ego is always there. But the spirit is at hand. So God is at hand wanting to work in your heart. But if we don't pray, so I insist in the point that this, and in my opinion, is the biggest problem of humanity. Accepting myself as I am. Because I can say now, and I have this, I mean, today, this morning, I was talking with a woman. He has a prayer life. She has every day prayer life. She is trying to make her daughters holy and prayer life. And she doesn't have self-acceptance. She doesn't love herself. That is horrible, I mean. But that is connected with his dad, her dad. I mean, that was not, I mean, there are dads that are not loving, or they are tough, or, and now it's difficult to accept myself because my relationship with God is founded in my relationship with my dad. But we need to conquer these things. How? Opening them to God, I mean, because if I don't accept myself, and I love myself, how I am going to love the others? Because you know the commandment, love the others as you love yourself. So it's very, very important that we love ourselves as we are. Because God cannot work if I don't love myself. Not I should be or I would want, but I am a sinner, I am like that this way, I am that way. I mean, that is the ego again working. God loves you. And loves you in the way you are. He doesn't love you as you must be. And you are loved as a person in the exactly now and here by God. I mean, if you don't believe that, you don't believe nothing. Because what is the love of God? A feeling, an emotion? No. It's the love of the Creator. The reason the second meditation is about creation. Why? Because it's the love of the one who is giving you your being. And through your being, through your body, through your life, he has a plan for you. But the first thing is accepting me, because how am I going to accept a plan that is about me if I am not accepting me in the depth of my being and in the depth of my weakness and my poverty? Because everyone has his own poverty and his own weakness and his own miseries. The problem is that I insist, it's something that I see, because people now, they have this not intentionally, because I mean the Pharisee, there are two levels in human life. One is the psychological level, and another is the spiritual level. In the spiritual level can be lies. In the psychological level, what is neurotic behavior. And we need to conquer, because they are together. They are not separated in me. So it's not that we are sinning. It's that we are not opening to the mystery of the fullness of our existence in the plan of God. And this is, if I don't move the psychological, I cannot open in the spiritual. Why? Because they are connected. And the psychological is blocking the action of God. It's not that God is not wanting, it's that a person who is, because in the psychological, is taking now my will. And now is these people who are craving for perfectionism and thinking that they have to be perfect, and they have to be that, what you were talking about there. I mean, this is a painful thing. Why? Because you open to God through the mercy of God, so through your miseries. So when you are trying to be perfect, you are refusing the love of God in your heart. You are refusing the action of God in your life. And now God is blocked to act in you. Why? Because you are not in the truth of yourself. And if God gives you consolation of strength or experience, you will say, okay, I am good, and the thing is worse.
Because God works in humility, in the awareness of who I am, but in the love he has for me, because he loves me until the cross for teaching me that. And the center of faith is only that truth, only that. It's for the little ones and the simple and those who want to let God to be God, because all is action of him. But I need first to accept that I am loved by him, because we have talked about that a lot. I mean, I don't want to repeat the same things always. The desire of being loved is ruling your behavior. The desire of happiness is ruling your behavior. These two desires, when they are not in God, they are in the world. But when you are not accepting yourself, how they can be in God? And now the same person who is not loving himself now is living in his head for being perfect. And it's a huge problem. Any questions about this?
Well, you're talking about that psychology, and at the same time, this is a spiritual battle. What was coming to my mind, we celebrated another feast of Our Lady Guadalupe, and the reading was from Revelation chapter 12. And here's the battle, because I know that the reading stopped a certain point, but I look into how it continues, because Mary is the true Eve that crushed the head of the serpent, and it's describing her in a battle, the woman with the 12 stars and the child, was Jesus Christ. But there is a battle, described battle, but how it continued the reading, that the accuser of our life has been cast out. Because the accuser is telling us about my perfection. He is leading me to look into my perfection and trying to do it. He is making me to sin, and then he accuses me. And then when I go with him, I don't go with God's mercy. I don't go with God's love. I don't go with God's power, but in my own perfection. But he is telling me all the time, focus on that. If I focus on that, on the perfection, I'm in a spiritual battle, but I'm trying to be perfect, but then I cannot pray, really pray, because I'm not listening to the voice of God who is telling me, I love you, I know your sins, and I still died for you. But that's the battle within us, which if I don't understand that, then I respond to the self-perfection and try to be. It's actually a spiritual battle more than a psychological battle.
Well, they are both, but we are a unity. But the spiritual, when it is there, means that there is some truth, so there can be a sin. A majority of people are not in sin, it's that they are destroyed. They have big problems. That now they commit sins because the psychological is connected with the spiritual. But majority of people is lack of understanding. That is the reason they go to the psychiatric and psychologists for trying to resolve their problems. Because the thing is bigger. I mean, when you are not living from love, you have a problem, because you are created for living from love. So being a person and being a gift is the same thing. No difference. But a gift is someone who is loved by himself for his own sake. And that is the whole system, because the psychological and the physical and the senses are created by God for the spiritual. All this 14,000 years that God has taken for doing the thing is for creating a body that was going to be the form, and the essence of that body is the soul. I mean, so in the moment the spiritual is not working, all becomes psychological, because the spiritual is communal, it's a relationship with God. The spiritual is not, I have an spirit, what is that? I mean, and a spirit means that you are created in relationship with God through your being and through your desires, and that is the spiritual. In the moment the spiritual is not working, because continue being there, all becomes psychological, all is egocentric. Cannot be in other ways, impossible. And all is ego. Whoever is this in this world, I mean, even it's polite, smiling, or whatever he's doing, it's all ego. Doesn't love anyone except himself and the others for loving him and attracting them to him and charming them and bringing them to him, and they think that they are very nice. You see the people in the actor and actress, they are all smiling and perfect and kind and everything is perfect, and their lives are, wow. I mean, why? Because there is no love in any way. It's all a lie. It's all the appearance of the Pharisee. They did, you know how Jesus defined the Pharisees? I am there as you are there. When I am not living from the love of God, they did everything for being seen by others. It's the desire of being loved that they applaud there and think, oh, these men are very holy, because in the spiritual can happen also. That, I mean, this guy is holy. I mean, this, how good is this priest? I mean, it's crazy. I mean, that these guys who were there in the program of cardinals here in the United States are connected with that. is Pharisaism pure? I mean, is the appearance being there? You know, go to Mass and they think that you are holy and you are preaching and talking about God. I mean, this thing. I mean. But it's there. I mean, it's a huge problem in human heart. It's what Jesus faced at the beginning of the Matthew 6 when he talked about, after talking the Sermon on the Mount, he began talking about the heart. And the heart is, when you do the things, do in the secret of your heart, and your Father, who is in the secret of your heart, will reward you. Don't do the things outside, because you have already received your reward. What? Nothing. Because why? When you are looking for love outside, you receive what you are looking, nothing, because selfishness in that moment is controlling your heart. Because selfishness is the desire of being loved in the world. That is selfishness. Selfishness is not a thinking, it's a desire of being loved that is in the world, is not in God. And now it's putting me in the center of everything because it cannot be another way. I mean, it's impossible. I mean, my selfishness, when I desire to be loved, now I need to be perfect. So pride is working because I cannot be with mistakes. I'm poor and little. I'm with miseries. That is what I have. So I need to deny the truth. So pride and exalt myself in my thinking. I need that the others love me and want me and consider me that I am wonderful. Vanity is working now. Because you have something that I don't have, they are going to love you more than me. Envy. I mean, and now lust. Lust is coming. Why? Because I want to be loved, but now I am not having love. So I need in the psychological level, in the physical level, to experience somebody that embrace me, hug me, and want me. And that is the sex in the lust. Is thinking about somebody loves me, and now instead of looking for happiness, looking for immediate compensation in pleasure. That is the same pleasure of the animals. It's good, yes, but it's the same as the animals. It's not a fullness in any way. But, greediness is having things for what? For the other thing about me, that I have possessions. I possess this that this the other don't possess. I'm greater than them. It's all connected with now with pride and the desire that what the other thinks about me. They do everything for being seen by others. And cannot be another way, I mean. And the other things, I don't know if I am lacking. Gluttony is because the emptiness of the person, now he needs to eat for compensating his lack of joy in the heart. And when a person has no joy in the heart, he needs for compensation. Why? Physical compensation. One of them is gluttony. And there are others. It's all these things that our children are doing. They are empty because nobody teaches them to open to God. And now they need to go to devices and being there doing things that make a moment of excitement, a moment of vertigo. But there is no ecstasy. There is no fullness in any way. And they are there. And they are trying the things and getting something. And the problem of these things is that they create addictions. Why? Because there is a moment of excitement, as in pornography. There is a moment of excitement in my head, in the promise of the false promise of sexuality. And now the result, what it is? Loneliness and sadness. So I have looked for union of love and happiness. And what I receive is loneliness and sadness. So exactly the contrary. But now, for going again to that moment that I experienced some excitement that somebody loves me and some pleasure, you need to repeat the action. And this is gluttony, that is gaming, that is buying things on internet and shopping, it's all the same. But this is getting the heart of every human being, I mean, because this is a powerful thing. Because or you are receiving love or you are looking for love outside. When you are looking for love outside, you don't find it. And now you are frustrated, despair, discouraged, angry, and looking for it, and now pretending to get that love. And that is sad, no? I mean, it's there. But that is the reason the things are so difficult, because that is not the plan of God. The plan of God is that we live as children of God. What means to be a child of God? What means to be a child of God? That is the first sacrament we receive in the church when we are baptized. That I live from other, from whom? From my Father, that I am his child. And now I live from the Holy Spirit. I don't live from my ego. I mean, but are we teaching our children this? I don't think so, I'm not sure. I mean, why? Because now you need to all this, that is the ascetic dimension of Christian life. You have to deny the things that are making you to look for love, so putting you in the center of everything outside. And that is a challenge, I mean, of course. It's a challenge. Why? Because it's a challenge of knowing God and having experience of God. Because a person who has experience and knowledge of God, all the other things are trash compared with that. But if I don't get my children to have an experience of God, how? teaching them to put the desires in the correct place, because my children are putting the desires in the wrong place. Where? In you, parents, is where your children put your desire below. I put my desires in my parents, and now we need to understand that there is a mission there, a mission of God. They put the desire of love in me. Why? Can I give the love that they need? No, obviously, because growing is recognizing that you, dad or mom, you cannot give the love to your children. They recognize it until the point that at 14, they are in rebellion, majority of them, against their parents. Why? Because they cannot give the love that they are looking for. But I insist in the point, is this is about the plan of God. And so the parents are there for opening the heart of their children to the love of God. That is the only mission they have. And it's a mission that they have always, whatever is the age of the children. When they are little, of course, the power of the mission is greater, because in that moment, all the affectivity of the child is with me, is putting me in the place of God. I mean, the first experience of a child is his dad and his mom. That is the problem the children have. Because the father and the mom don't help them to open to the true fatherhood and the true motherhood, that is God. And through Mary, it's an experience of the motherhood also. I mean, look at the children of Fatima. They were very little, but they have a knowledge of God that you are amazed. Why? Because somebody opened them, first their parents that were there working with them. But Jesus is the same. Jesus at 12, he knows perfectly who is God and what is doing the will of God. And how that is above every other thing. And many saints are there. I mean, why? Because their parents were there. Where? Without the knowledge of the ideas that I am saying. But they know that they represent God, and they were there for opening the heart of the children to God. And because they did that, the children are more powerful for what? For conquering everything. Because I cannot help my children, but God can do that. If they learn how to open their hearts to God, they learn everything that they need in this life. And there is the mission of the father and the mission of the mother that are different. The mission of the mother is more that tenderness, that protecting, that origin, that source of love, that mercy, that compassion, that being there with the children always. And the mission of the father is guiding, is leading toward God. And now you need to deny yourself, you need to face the evil that is inside you, and you need to face the selfishness that you have. But where are the dads? I mean, that is a big question. I know that there are some. But majority of them in our society, they are not living their mission because they want to be loved by the children. And they put that desire of being loved by the children before God. And now they are not that. And the moms, the same. I insist, it's a huge problem that we have in this society. Why? Because they are not able to face their children with the truth of their good, with the truth of their happiness, with the truth of how they grow and mature as persons, with the truth of what is the way of happiness. And they're not able, I mean. They're afraid. Why? Because they think that they are going to lose the love of their children, when the contrary is the truth. Because if you teach your children to love, they will love you always. There are some children, when they grow, they want their parents to go where? To the retreat house for old elderly people. Nobody wants to take their parents to their house. Why? Because if you teach your children selfishness, be sure that they are going to be selfish. Would you? If you teach your children love, they will love you. And even whatever is the situation, they will bring you to them. I mean, why? Because you have taught them that love has a dimension of sacrifice, has a dimension of denying yourself. David is there. So, we go to the meditation today. It's connected with all this. I will give it to you because we need to go on. Meditation for hating sins and sinful attachment that separate me from God, from my neighbor, and from myself. I mean, every evil harms you. That is the first thing that we have to learn. Evil can harm the others. Maybe, I don't know. But every evil that I do, whatever level of evil, is harming me. I think that there is a thing that people don't get it. Because so many people come to confessionary saying, I mean, in this idea that I told you before, the presumption of the mercy of God. I mean, okay, you have presumption of the mercy of God. God is going to forgive you whatever you do. But the problem is that you are created a deeper addiction. You are created a deeper behavior that is contrary to yourself. It's contrary to your happiness. It's contrary to your virtues. It's contrary to the union with God. It's contrary, and it's like getting roots inside you. That is what is called a vice. And God continue loving you? Yes, of course. But the problem is that it's more difficult now to react against evil. I mean, and that is the reason this meditation. This meditation is not for, oh, sins. No, it's for getting myself away of my sins. And you can do that. You have more power than you can imagine inside you, with the grace of God, of course. But I mean, hatred is the virtue of penance. The virtue of penance is not doing things bad with me. No, virtue of penance, that is what we go to the sacrament of penance, of confession, is for hating evil. Because evil is against me. It's against my God. It's against my brothers and sisters. It's against my relationship with creation. It's affecting everything in my life. But if I don't hate it, how am I going to finish it? Because what is the problem of evil? That is connected with my desires. You read slowly the letter of St. Paul, the letter of St. James, the letter of St. Peter, or whatever letter you want to read, you will see that all is connected with desires. Our former desires when we didn't believe. And those desires bring us to the things that we were doing. But now we have different desires and we are living in a different way. Why? Because my desires are my life, are what is moving my actions. But if I desire God, I hate evil. Because evil is what separates me from God. If I desire to be holy, I hate evil. Because evil, my sins, is what is separating me from my holiness. If I desire the gifts of the Holy Spirit, I hate evil. So there are a thousand of reasons for hating the things that are separating me from God. Why? Because the problem I sin, why I sin? Because I desire it. If not, I don't sin. In any way, it's impossible. So if I don't face this, that is the sacrament of penance. Sacrament of penance has examination of conscience. Second thing, repentance. So being sorry for what I do. But the key of that repentance, the manifestation of that repentance, is the desire of changing. And people came to me saying, I mean, I have been doing the same things the last year. And I say to them, and you will continue the next. If you don't change your desires without conditional. Because if you change your desires, you change everything in your life. And this is with whatever kind of problem. It's a problem of desires. Why? Because I am ruled by my desires. And put now the two desires, the desire of being loved and the desire of happiness, and you will see how all sins are coming from these two, that they are not in God. But if I put my desire of happiness in whom? In the only one who is happiness, I mean. In the only one who has created us for being happy. Yesterday we were seeing how hope is about where is happiness in the guided by the Spirit. I mean, why? Because hope is about happiness. But hope, what is hope? Hope is a desire of happiness that is in God and in the graces that He's going to give me. That is hope. But it's the second supernatural virtue. So if I am not putting my happiness in God, and I am not putting my desire of being loved in God, means that I am not a child of God. Because now, yes, I am a child of God. But where is my desire of being loved? Is in God or is in the world? If it is in God, my desire of being loved will not be in the world. But everything that a person is committing is connected with this desire and with this desire that they are not in God. They are in me. And now, but I have to take that from me. Why? Because this is a thing that we are accustomed from childhood to put there, and it's society, because all society is putting the desire of happiness and the desire of being loved out of God. That is all society and all the propaganda and all the media that we have. So, but if I work it, when I desire something, I hate the country. I mean, if you want to lose weight and I want to be thin, I hate eating the big things. I don't go to eat things that have a lot of fat. Why? Because I hate that. I want to be thin. So when you love something, you hate the contrary. And the same with God. I mean, you desire true happiness, and you go to prayer asking God, and pray to God this, God, give me taste of your happiness. You have prayed that to God ever? I need to taste happiness because you are happiness. So touch my heart. I mean, ask things for God what is about the spiritual life. Spiritual life is about where is happiness and where is the source of love. And what is the only one who can fulfill my desire of being loved? That is a spiritual life. Because spiritual life is my relationship with God. As a child, that means living from the Holy Spirit, from the love of God. As a Christian, that is being now a pilgrim toward the union with God. And the way of happiness is my choices. So give me happiness that I test you. I'm not saying nothing that is not in the gospel. I mean, you go to Ephesians, first chapter. He's asking, St. Paul is praying that to God. Why don't we don't pray for these things? He's in the beginning. In him, we were also chosen, destined in accord with the purpose. It's amazing, the words. Destined in accord with the purpose of the one who accomplishes all things according to the intention of his will. Amen. So that we might exist for the praise of his glory. We who first hope in Christ. And here a little later in the verse 18. This is the chapter first. The other was verse 11 and 12. I mean, it's a hope in Christ. And now he's saying, may the eyes of your hearts be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope that belongs to his call, to the call of God. What are the riches of glory in his inheritance among the holy ones, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power for us who believe, in accord with the exercise of his great might, with his work in Christ, raising him from the dead. So it's all about, he may give you knowledge of what is the hope you have, so where you are putting your happiness. That is what he's asking. I mean, do we pray for these things, or what we pray in prayer? I mean, God wants to work in you, but the measure of your quest, what you are asking to God, is the measure of the faith you have in God. I mean, you ask little, it's because you believe little in God. You know, the expression is of Santa Teresa of Avila. God gives great gifts in prayer. God gives great, and why? Because you are good. We are again. Problem in your head. I mean, you think that is because you are good. God gives great gifts in prayer. Those who doesn't believe this, they will not experience it, because he's very friend that we don't put limits to his gifts. We are always putting limits to God and his love, because in the bottom, what is manifesting is our lack of faith in his love. And it's there, I mean. Because if you understand that the Almighty Infinite is wanting to give you himself, I mean, the one who has given his son, how he's not going to give you everything with him? I mean, what is lacking here? You know, there's Romans 8:32. The one who gave his son to die on a cross for us, how he's not going to give us everything with him? How? Now answer yourself, how? Because we don't have faith that he has given his son, his eternal son, for us. I mean, it's a huge thing, but try. Because hope is about happiness. So when I put my desires in God, if you love God, and that is what we have to work in prayer, because the first meditation was about how much he loves me. And now opening to his love and being humble and letting his love to come to my heart. But the second meditation is about the first commandment, to try to put my happiness in God. Because if you are going to prayer and you are not putting your happiness in God, I mean, something is wrong. Because you are going to be moved during this day by happiness, by your desire of happiness, as I am going to be moved by my desire of happiness. If my happiness is not being in God, what is going to be? Wherever. What is whatever or whoever is your idols. And the things that are denying God in your heart, or my idols. And they are there, so I have to work with the love of God, loving Him, because it's a commandment. He's not asking you, love me if you want. No, He's asking you, the first commandment, the most important, the fundamental of all commandments, is to love God with all your heart. And this is the key word. All your strength, and all your soul, and all your being. And you know, there is another place there, and all your mind. Why? Because if you love God in this way, you will hate the things that separate you from God. That are the choices that we are making, because when you love hatred is not a first movement of the heart, it's a second movement. You hate the contrary of what you love. You cannot hate directly. It's impossible. Because you love something, you hate the country. The people hate the church because they love sex, or they love ambition of money, and now they hate whatever can say then that you are not doing right. So they hate the country of what they love. I mean, and we are there. I mean, have this very clear. This is a battle. But this is a battle because if you don't do it, who is able to go in your inner self and resolve the problem of your desires? Who can do that? I mean, nobody can do that. Nobody can change your inside. Your desires are the most intimate thing that you have, are the expression of your very person, your desires. Only God and you can change that. Nobody can go inside your desires. You can change your, you can share with others your mind and your thinking and talking as I am doing now. But your desires, you cannot share with them. I mean, you can talk about them, but your desires is the intimate part of your being. So it's your very relationship with God. But if I don't go to prayer and I am not trying to change my desires, what kind of prayer is that? Because I am not working my hope. I am not working my charity. Because it's about desires. So what am I doing in prayer? And now I say my prayer is boring. Maybe. But it's not because it's not prayer. Because prayer is about opening to the power of, and love of God and walking toward Him, trying to understand that there are things that this day that are going to tempt me for taking Him from my first from the first place. How? Putting my ego first, of course. Yes.
So you said weeks ago, you said, the moment you are not having joy, be afraid of you.
Yes.
So this is a, you're saying there's a danger, spiritual danger of being in that situation. And how about encountering others who are in that situation? So
when there are others, you have to bring joy to them. I mean, bringing joy. Look, Mary. She came to visit Elizabeth. It's the gospel this next weekend. And not only she was with the joy of going there, she, the child leapt of joy in the and her Elizabeth was filled by the Holy Spirit. God is infinite joy. I mean, God is infinite. Happiness is infinite joy. I mean, it's a kind of joy that we cannot imagine. We use the word joy. You know the expression of Jesus. I have told all these things, that my joy be in you and your joy be complete. And that is the chapter 15, verse 11 of St. John. So all the proclamation of the gospel is for joy. How we are going to convince anyone if we don't have joy in our hearts? And joy is when a person is doing the will of God, has always joy. Always is always. I mean, we can read it again. It seems that the words are mine, but you go to Colossians, I mean, whatever is happening, I mean. At the beginning is also the first chapter, verse 9 and 11. Therefore, from the day we heard this, so he has not proclaimed the gospel to this community. The Colossians were not evangelized by St. Paul. He's talking about other guy who was there. From the day that we heard this of your faith, we do not cease, God bless, praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will. So the prayer of St. Paul is for that community is that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. So the Holy Spirit brings you to the knowledge of the will of God in all the depth of the wisdom and understanding of God. To live in a manner worthy of the Lord, that is doing His will. So as to be fully pleasing to Him. in every good work bearing fruit and growing in the knowledge of God. Why? Because the knowledge of God is only given in the will of God. There is no way of knowing God out of doing His will. And continue. Strengthened with every power, where? In the will of God. In accord with His glorious might, for all endurance and patience, so in the trials also, with joy. This is the way it finishes, with joy. So it's endurance and patience with joy. Why? Because God is joy. I mean, how can God be working in a person without joy? The announcement of the gospel, I mean, sadness is the reason we sin. It's not a sin, but it's the reason we sin. A person, because he's sad, now need to compensate him, because we are created for joy. So we are created for happiness, and God has created us with that. How God is not going to give us joy? And all the teaching of St. Ignatius, of the discernment of the spirit, is about joy in the heart. It's about consolation. It's about the action of God in the heart that gives courage and joy and desire of doing the things. But I insist, all these things that we don't have, all that is connected, sadness is connected with boredom, and it's because we are not open to God. We are in our ego. And our ego is unsatiable and cannot have joy ever. Can have external pleasures of satisfaction, but not joy. Joy is given by God as peace. The peace of Jesus that surpasses all knowledge. What they read in the last, the Saturday, the Sunday of joy, no? Dominum of Gaudete. That means joy. That is. Why? Because Christian life is about joy. A person who has hope has joy. It's impossible that I don't have joy if I have trust and hope in God. Why? Because I'm expecting everything from Him. And my weakness is not a problem. If I'm looking to me, yes, of course, it's a problem. But if I'm looking to Him, it's not a problem. Because He resolved the problem from the first minute. So, here, I mean, I know that is not the greatest reason for hating our sins. But we have to understand that our sins crucified Jesus. And when we sin on our part, we crucified again the Son of God. That is Hebrews 6:6. I mean, on our part, we crucified again the Son of God. So Jesus didn't suffer because He has to suffer. Jesus suffered for our sins, for understanding what is the effect of our actions in God, and teaching us what we do in God when we sin. Why? Because, I mean, it's very simple. It's taking the thing seriously. If He loves us, or not us, I mean me, with a love that is the love of God, that is the only way, is His Son crucified, that is the way He loves me, I mean, with a love that is I cannot understand, I mean, when I sin, what I do? I disdain God, I go away from God, I destroy myself. So, imagine a mother who has a child of 5 years, and the child of 5 years is taking heroin. And the mother cannot do nothing. Imagine the pain of the mother, but it's nothing compared with the pain of God when you separate from Him. Because the heroin is maybe kill physically the child, but when you are sinning, you are putting in a state of eternal damnation. So of eternal separation of God. Imagine the pain of God in His heart, for you are His beloved child. What is happening there? I mean, we cannot understand it, but that is the reason sin is something unjust. It's something that is against love. But it's against me. So it destroyed me. The prodigal son, when he went to the house of the father, is for me as if you were dead. So it's now I am going to live my life by myself. But that is what he did, is separating from God. It's not that God doesn't love him, it's that God loves him more. It's true that love of God that is wounded by our sins doesn't remain suffering. It created a greater love that is the mercy of God. That is the resurrection of Jesus. So God doesn't remain, oh, I can do nothing. No, He can do everything, and He loves more the person, so the person come back to Him. I mean, that is the mercy of God. The mercy of God is that when you sin, He loves you more. But at the same time, your sins are in some way crucifying Him. But He doesn't stop loving us because we are sinning. He loves us more. And it's the same, the mystery of sin, but we crucified Him. I mean, And at the same time, have this very clear. It's very important. Hating sin is a matter of understanding what is sin. Sin is what destroys you as a man, as a woman, as a father, as a mother, as a husband, as a citizenship. That is a sin, is what is destroying you and not letting you to achieve the fullness and bring the fullness to those God has given you. I mean, but we don't hate them, and there is reason they remain in us. Because sin has some kind, is some apparent good. And this is the problem, this apparent good. The evil has no attraction to anyone. Evil cannot attract anyone. It's the apparent good what attracts us. The demand, what is the apparent good? But maybe pleasure, prestige, my possessions, I mean, different things that has an apparent good, but is the reason the people sin? If not, they will not sin. But I have to hate this apparent, I have to bring to light the evil that is there. How it's harming me, how it's harming my relationships. Because science is, all the programs and therapies for changing the behavior of people, what are they about? Are only one thing, that you hate what you are doing. You go to AA, AA is a program for people coming there, up, and showing up, and now talking about what alcoholism has done in my life, how has destroyed everything in my life. So those who are seated there, they get anger with themselves and what they have done also in their life, because it's the same thing. So the witness is creating hatred to evil, to the evil of drinking and getting drunk. For what? For stop drinking. And when they stop going to AA, what happened? That they turn back because they don't have a spiritual life. So not then are able to come out and conquer the thing. Because AA is a program for one thing, only one, doing the will of God. That is AA. Because you are Christian or you are not Christian. If you are wanting to do the will of God, you are with God. Being Christian is for doing the will of God. Who is my mother and my father and my, what is my father? No, who is my mother and my brother and my sister? Those who do the will of God. So if a person is doing the will of God, whoever is in India is not knowing nothing about, and in his natural understanding of what is the will of God, that is being better and being holy and growing, I mean, that person is closer to God than us, even we are Christians, because he is doing the will of God. Because I am a child of God for doing his will. The only way of getting happiness is doing his will. So everything in a spiritual life is about doing the will of God. But I mean, the country of the will of God, imagine going away from a will that is infinite love, infinite wisdom, and infinite power. And I go and I put my will before that. I mean, it's crazy. That's the reason the sins are crazy, are foolish, are stupid, are degenerated, are depraved. That is the expression that the Bible used for them. I mean, degenerated children and perverted. You foolish who has separated from God. Why? Because it's what is a sin always. The problem is that we don't get it because this appearance of good. But it's not letting. I mean, and now being in the mission that I have in this world and doing the things, they are powerful. I mean, because this appearance is so powerful in our hearts. Because the lack of knowledge of God, that is the reason also of praying and being consistent in our prayer, for not being deceived. Because when you have the knowledge of God, of where is love, and ask God for love. I mean, when you go to prayer, you ask for love or not? Give me love. Give me love. I need your love. You said it, Jesus. Without you, I can do nothing. And you are the man and you are the branches, and you invite me to remain in your love. How am I going to remain if I don't experience that love? Give me the grace of experiencing your love. I mean, ask for love to God and ask for the experience of happiness to God. I need you, my God. I want to put you in the center of my desires, in the center of my heart. But the only way is experiencing happiness. My conversion was not a conversion because I think much. No, my conversion was because God gave me the experience of where is happiness. And was like not doing nothing and being in a total fullness that you cannot understand. And that is what makes me change the things. It's not that I was thinking things, no, or I read a book and no. It was a total experience of happiness, of total fullness. And they say, I mean, for that you change everything. Because it's stupid to remain where I was, having an experience of where, not a thinking, an experience in my whole being of total joy, of total fullness, so you cannot desire anymore. I mean, and that is happiness. And God wants to give you that. Why? Because why he gave it to me? No reason. Because I am the biggest sinner that can exist. I was there in my selfishness and in my things doing my life. And it was only about me, my life. And he gave me the grace. How is he not going to give it to you that you are trying to change and do the things better? I mean, but ask for the things. Open for the graces. Ask for them, because if not, we don't hate sin. So if I don't experience the fullness, I don't hate the contrary, because that is a promise of fullness. That is our apparent good, because good is always that promise something of fullness. But it's a lie, and we keep in that lie because we don't face it. And I insist, one of the most powerful things happened in my life, because after my conversion and all these things that I understood, I mean, I go back to my sins, especially the sins of sexuality. When I was converted, I go back, and I don't understand it. Why? Because it's not a matter of understanding. But I repeat the same things and worse, because now I know God, so I need to go more deeply in my sexual sins. I'm more shameful and more, and I was there, and I understand it. Why? Because I understand that I was not hating the affections, the attachment that I have created from 12 to 25, and I have to face them. And how? Hating them. And I don't have temptations about sexuality. Why? Because I don't want. And in the moment the temptation comes, I open my heart to God and I do the same that I have done 1,000 times. I hate that stupid, ridiculous, selfish, destructive behavior that separates me from the things that I love and make me what I don't want to be. And you hate it? I mean, and Satan now is afraid even of tempting. Why? Yes, because he knows my reaction. And it's a coward, as Ignatius put in one of the points of the meditation. He knows that if you are in the disposition of facing him, he's afraid. Because he's going to bring you closer to God. And he doesn't want to bring you closer to God, I mean. But if you have in that disposition of hating the things that are inside you that I have created, because I connected from 12 years or more, whatever, because, I mean, probably as a child, I was not sex, but my pleasures and my things. I have created inside me what? A connection between happiness and pleasure, sexual pleasure. Because it's also connected with the desire of being loved. I was trying to explain it, that the desire of being loved is there. Why is the reason the children begin to sing that this, especially boys, after 12? Because the desire of being loved. Because they want to be loved and they don't have, and their parents, they cannot find the love that they want. It's impossible. So they look for things outside. Why? Why? Because they don't know God. And not knowing God means looking for things outside. So this sexual pleasure and this desire of being loved, I create a connected in these two things with happiness. So what is hating sin? Is disconnecting. It's breaking the link that I have created inside me. How? Hating it. I'm bringing to my understanding that there is no connection. The truth is the contrary. There is unhappiness. There is loneliness. There is despair. There is no God. There is no good joy. There is no peace. There is nothing there. And you can do that whatever kind of sins you have in your heart. As I do with whatever thing is coming to my life, I bring my batteries of hatred. For what? Because it's separating me from God. So it's separating me from my humanity, from my growth, from virtues, from happiness, from the gifts of the Holy Spirit, from having light and joy in this life, for enjoying existence, for having, I mean, it's separating me so many things that if I don't hate them, it's because I'm stupid. Why? Because God has given me an understanding for knowing that this is a false good. It's an appearance of good. It's not a real good. Even give some moment of some kind of something that attracts me. That is, but I mean, this, I mean, I insist all the therapies that exist in this world is because people are so weak that they don't pray also, and they are not able to face themselves. And they need to go to the psychologist, because the things can get so strong in this connection that I create that I am almost unable to go out. If I don't have the help of the love of God and the knowledge of happiness, how am I going to go out from there? I need that help, external help. And that is all the therapies are there, are for helping the people to make this weaker. But they cannot inviting them to change their behavior, understanding that pattern of behavior that they have is destroying them. That is what they do, the police, when they get a guy for not drinking or aggressive behavior. It's for making them understand and making different choice that you are destroying your life. that you, and also that you are going to have a punishment here, because is they work through that. If you continue here, you are going to go to jail. But is there? I mean, it's, all therapy is creating, awakening this connection that we have created inside with anger, or with loss, or with, and now letting the person to make new choice that can give him some joy, real joy in his heart, because God is going to work in a person that is trying to do good, even if he's not believing in God. God, when a person is trying to do good, he tried to help that person. Why? Because he loves us. I mean, God is not stingy. The problem is that a person that is not believing in God is closed and continuing his ego. Even he's doing good things, he's not able to get the whole picture of the thing. But a person who is trying to do good, God is working in them. I mean, doing the expression is Saint Teresa of Benedict of the Cross, the one who is looking for the truth is looking for God. He knows it or he doesn't. I mean, everyone who is looking for the truth is looking for God. Everyone who is looking for good and justice is looking for God, because God is love and justice and goodness. I mean, and God works in these people. The problem is that these people are not open to God because they don't know God and they are not the love of God, but God tried to give them some kind of joy. Why? Because, I mean, God don't care if you love him so much. When you love him, it's for putting good always in the first place, that is his will, that is the best infinite good that is given to you in this life. I mean, because you can be good as Aristotle, but that is nothing. But you can be good as God, and that is, phew. Why? Because that is the saints. I mean, there is a level of good that has no measure. Eh? Why? Because now it's not Aristotle that was, I mean, a kind of guy that was in himself. I mean, but God always, we try to do good or change ourselves, he will give us the graces. Why? Because he loves us. You have this meditation. One, there are two, I explain only and I give them to you. One is for hating sins. And not only sins, my disorder operation. So the things in my life that I usually do and I repeat them and are contrary to my maturity and my growth and my... So the petition is at the end, it's very powerful, it's of St. Ignatius. I know what the printer was not printing well, but because the pictures are not good. But what's the beast that is a big? So here you have the three petitions that are there from the book of spiritual exercises. They are really powerful. Deep and intimate knowledge of my sins and hatred for them. Deep and intimate knowledge of the disorder of my interior movements, thoughts, desires, affections, your mental mind, whatever, and grace for hating and freeing me from them. And deep and intimate knowledge of the lies, deceits, and allurements of the world, and grace for disdaining them, hating them. Yeah, so this is connected with the gift of understanding. I mean, God wants to give you these things. Why? Because he wants you to free you from the thing that he was crucified by, that is my sins. So it's a meditation for hating sin and stopping sinning. I mean, so we can keep in the love of God. And if we sin, we have his mercy. I see this is not about, because the prayer I understand, I mean, I know his mercy. I know how much he loves me. But I go back to the same things. Why? Because this disorder behavior that I have created inside me, and we're working, and Satan knows that, and wait the moments I am weaker, when I go back to the beach or to with my family and this thing, boom, and they come, and it was amazing. I mean, because I am very passionate and was like lost. And the other is a meditation about, if you have any wound of the past, free yourself from it. If you have wounds with your parents, with your brothers, sisters, teachers, do that meditation. I mean, come to God and understand that he wants to heal you, because in the bottom, all these things are keeping me close to God. Whatever hatred, whatever resentment, whatever nostalgia, whatever sadness, whatever pain is in your heart, is not letting God to be your God. So open them to him, because he took them in the cross. He never left you alone. The problem in those moments, you were not able to open to him. Now you are able to open to him whatever is in your heart. So work it. That is the other meditation. One is about my sins and hating them, and the other is, if they have wounded me, I mean, try to heal it. I mean, try to put God first. Try to put forgiveness. Because God works in us through love. And forgiveness, as you know, is the total gift. That is forgiveness. The word pardon, and you have it also in English, is the perfect gift. That is pardon. And forgiveness is the same. Foremost, you say, is the greatest, no? Forgiveness is the greatest gift. It's a love that is there. And you have to give that because you don't have to forgive those who are good. You have to forgive those who have been evil with you. You can pass it back. This is the one for putting peace in my heart. Pass them. And I mean, it's a challenge. It's a battle for everyone, especially those who have not very good relationship with their parents, because, I mean, there is the battle of pass them to back. I mean. Pass it. I'll give you one to reward. Of this one. I think there are enough there. Okay. Do you have everyone, the two? Take the pass this to him. I mean, try to do that, and they are very powerful. And I insist for everything, for everything. If you learn to hate your sins, you conquer yourself. It's the virtue of penance that is hating evil because separating me from God, essentially, but also because destroy me, destroy my relationship with others, and destroy my relationship with creation, my capacity of joy and fullness in whatever moment in my life, because sins put us in our heads instead of putting us in reality and in the truth. And now we have, I mean, so we pray to Mary, our Mother Immaculate, because we are created by God for being holy and immaculate in His presence. Ephesians 1:4. Holy and immaculate, so without sin, but in His presence, so in the union with Him, being children of Him, so living from Him. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.
As a reminder, we are not meeting next week yet.
Yes.
Again.